Megatron, what's your name?
Orion. Orion Pax. It's really a thrill to meet you, sir.
Well, it's finished. You may not recognize him. He is no longer Orion Pax. Now he is the first of our new defenders, Optimus Prime.
I was wrong, my friends. I admired Megatron merely because he was powerful. I failed to see how he used that power.
Hello, this is Mike TFG1 Blanchard from the Geekcast Radio Network, and this week in Geek, today I bring you a chat with Transformers, He-Man, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles writer David Wise. Hello, David, how are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. This is actually, you know, I've been a huge fan of Transformers since I was a kid, and it's like, wow, David Wise friended me on Facebook, and it's like, holy crap.
Only because you asked.
Yes, yes.
It's not like I sought you out.
Right, no, right, no, I sent you one, you sent one back. So, yeah, but, okay. Can you tell us anything about the upcoming projects you might have going on right now?
No.
Okay. What show did you enjoy writing for the most?
Of all of them?
Yes.
Well, I have to stop here and say I'm getting a little bit of an echo.
Okay.
On my end, but does it sound okay on your end?
Sounds fine over here. Do I sound all right?
Yeah, you sound fine.
Okay.
I just keep hearing a little snippets of myself after I finish talking.
Okay.
They all have their different pleasures.
Mm-hmm.
There are some that I actually genuinely did not like writing. I did not like writing He-Man. For a number of reasons, and I have very few memories of writing He-Man. When they interviewed me for the DVD, I was telling them, you know, you're lucky if you can get anything out of me because I sort of blocked this one out. It's been wiped from the memory banks. But I would say of all of them, the show in which I think I did my best work was a show that literally nobody saw, called Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. And it was based on the comic, the series of, I don't know if it was comics or graphic novels, but Xenozoic Tales by, I think, Mark Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
And it had originally been developed for television by Steven D'Souza, the guy who wrote Die Hard. And I took it over in midstream.
Right.
And we did one that had a story by Harlan Ellison. It was a great show to write for, and nobody has seen it. There's a couple episodes out on VHS, and I'm just praying one day they'll bring it out on DVD because it's one of the few things I've done that I actually don't mind sitting down and rewatching. I thought I did a really good job on it. Pound for pound fun, it would have to be the Turtles. I did so many. I was involved in it right from, you know, beginning to almost end of the original series. I've often said that, see, originally in the comic book, there had only been like 5 issues, I think, of the comic out at the time I developed it.
Right.
And they had no distinct personalities. And when I spoke to Fred Wolf about how we're going to make this work, I said, I mean, the first thing you got to do is we got to differentiate these turtles. And so basically what I did was I kind of took my own personality and broke it into 4 pieces and gave a piece to each turtle. So my sarcastic side went to Raphael, my, you know, geeky gadget freak side went to Donatello, the serious, you know, side I'd like to be but probably am never going to be went to Leonardo.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the party fun side I would like to be and will probably never be went to Michelangelo, and he's of course the one who became Cowabunga, who adapted the catchphrase. There's the most of my personality is in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and then that said, second favorite would be Transformers because it was the first show where I got to do so many episodes that I actually sort of started working as almost like theme and variations and started doing very, very strange outside-the-box episodes like Kremzeek and The Girl Who Loved Power Glide. and I, at the time I was that we did it, I was a giant robot freak. I loved Japanese animation, which was largely unavailable in the U.S. then. This was 1984.
Right.
And I had been to Japan in 1980 and seen all this stuff and just fallen head over heels in love with it. And so the idea of being able to write for, you know, robots of various size, including tall, was very exciting to me. So Transformers would be second favorite, but the Turtles is really the most me. And actually, on terms of like just sheer high quality of work, it would be Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
Oh, cool. What, going back to the Transformers, do you have a favorite episode that you wrote of Transformers?
That's like Sophie's Choice. which of your children do you love the most? I think on terms of like execution and the way it ultimately came out, Wardon is probably my favorite episode. I know that's a lot of people's favorite episode. Some people, Microbots is their favorite episode. I think that was like the second episode I wrote, and I sort of went, okay, if you like that. But everybody likes the bit where the Decepticons get drunk on Energon.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a popular scene. And then a lot of people love Key to Vector Sigma, the two-parter.
Right,
right. The Aerial Bots and the Stunticons. That one was a lot of fun, too. But I would say of all of them, Wardon, because, first of all the time I was writing it, I was afraid I'm contradicting some, because I was doing the origin of Optimus Prime, I was concerned that I was contradicting something that had been done in a previous episode. Because remember, these episodes were all written concurrently. It was,
right.
You know, people say, well, this is out of sync with, you know, that guy's, what that guy wrote. Well, that guy was probably writing it at the same time I was writing mine. How are we supposed to know?
Yeah.
You know, and there were dozens of writers and only a couple of story editors to kind of, you know, keep everything centralized.
Right.
So, you know, therefore you get the thing like, you know, my origin of, is it the Constructicons?
Yeah, there was like three or four different versions of, or different origins of the Constructicons.
Right, and of which mine was one.
Yes.
And of which I like to think mine was the best one. But be that as it may. But I mean, there were so many other things. That didn't bother me so much as the fact that nobody told me in that episode that Omega Supreme, we're talking about the secret of Omega Supreme, that Omega
right.
Supreme talked. I mean, here's the sort of character stuff we got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Autobot, Omega Supreme, personality, taciturn, and that was it. He had to write the character based on that one word.
Wow.
Well, taciturn just means, you know, a guy doesn't talk much. It doesn't mean a guy who goes, energy, low, rest, necessary. You know, I mean, I had no idea he talked like that. So I had him talking like a regular guy, and then somebody or other at Sunbow's End, you know, had to put in the script after I turned it in a line where Optimus Prime, you know, basically says to him, Omega, just for this one time, couldn't you talk like a normal guy?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, okay. And and I hated, I mean, I it would have been, I never would have had him narrate the whole damned episode if I had known he talked in basically two-word sentences.
Right.
But, and I don't really like the idea of, you know, suddenly he can just talk like a normal guy. Where did that come from? Why doesn't he talk that way all the time, then? You need to give it a reason.
True.
But at any rate, I've gotten way off script here. What were we talking about?
No, it's just your favorite overall episode of Transformers. Like,
Yeah. No,
going back to...
Well, it was Wardon because Wardon, number one, I thought it was going to get shot down. And I was really liking it as I was writing it. And I thought, this origin I'm giving Optimus Prime is going to contradict something and I'm going to get in trouble and they're going to kill this episode.
Right.
Which they didn't. And the other thing is, I really like the time travel story in it because it's kind of unique in time travel stories that I can think of where you have two simultaneous timelines going on. You've got the Autobots on Cybertron in the present. And then you've got the aerial bots in the past, in the
right.
way in the past. But they're taking place at different points in time, but not in different points in space. Because they're both stomping around the same area. So they've been shot back in time, but not in space. So there's things that tie in together, like they find the headless guardian robot, and you suddenly realize this ruined dome that the present-day Autobots have been that all the action on Cybertron has been in the present is taking place in is the dome that blows up at the end of, you know, the sequence in the past and things like that. I really liked how stuff like that tied together. And then there's the origin of Optimus Prime and that whole, you know, Year Wars nightmare, you know, first. I literally wanted, the idea behind that story was we had created these guys a couple episodes earlier. I wanted them to be immature, to not understand things, and I thought to teach them a lesson, I'm going to send them back in time and have them observe the first shot in the war of the Autobots versus the Decepticons. And literally the first shot in the war pretty much is Orion Pax getting blown away.
Didn't you, wasn't it something, I believe it's on the Rhino DVD set, season.
A little more violently, yes.
Right. Wasn't it supposed to be, like, a lot more violently?
Well, I mean, bearing in mind that basically he's an extremely intelligent vacuum cleaner, you know, you know, I mean, he's basically a machine. Is it violent? I don't know. But yes, it was. Basically, what happened in the original is that Megatron shoots him in the shoulder and blows his arm clean off, grabs the arm before it hits the ground, swings it around, and decapitates him with it.
Oh. Wow.
Honestly, that was probably a little over the top, but sometimes, you know, look, I knew they were going to pull it back. I thought, let's see what they'll let me get away with. I'll just, you know, if they do half of this, I'll be happy, and they did maybe a third to half of it, so that was fine.
Right.
That was a case of overriding something, so at least you had some impact with what they left behind.
Oh, yeah. What was it like working on Batman the Animated Series, and was this the first superhero-type cartoon you wrote for?
Good Lord, was it the first superhero cartoon? Well, of course, Turtles was, like, 5 years earlier.
Right.
And they're sort of... No, I had worked on superheroes. I had written for the revival in 1980 of Space Ghost, and
okay.
I had also written an episode of the live action Wonder Woman.
Did you really?
Yes, and an episode of Buck Rogers as well. Cool. So no. I had experience writing for superheroes. Heck, when I worked at Marvel, I had the office. I was right next to Stan the whole time, Stan Lee the whole time.
Wow. I'd love to get an interview with him.
Well, let me tell you something. He'd love to give it to you.
Yeah.
I have no idea how to reach him these days, but if you, you know. Anyway, there you go. Writing on Batman the Animated Series. It was a little scary because everybody was sort of, the staff guys were making a big deal about, you know, kind of raising the bar, and it's not going to just be for kids. We're going to write it adult.
Right.
Kind of trying to do Miller's The Dark Knight. We going for very noir, what we call I think they called it Dark Deco, which mm-hmm. I always called modern noir because it's not Art Deco, it's Art Modern. It's the look that they used for that. So that was great. What was weird was I never got to write for the Joker. And Jerry Robinson, the comic artist who created the Joker, is a guy I've known since I was about 8 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I kept saying to them, guys, I know Jerry Robinson, he created the Joker, let me write the Joker. And I never, you know, because everybody wanted to write the Joker, so I never got him. And instead I got, you know, I got the Clock King, and I was not real thrilled when they said, you get to do the Clock King. You know, it's like, what's next, King Tut? You know, Egghead, you know, these characters that were peculiar to, you know, the 60s series.
Yes.
And then doing the Riddler was very difficult because they were determined not to do, you know, Riddle Me This Batman.
Right, right.
From the old show. So, I mean, the riddles, I actually had to come up with riddles that were real riddles. And some of them I thought were actually pretty good, but that was very hard. That was, like, maybe the hardest episode of television I ever had to write was that Riddler thing because of the riddles.
Really?
That was just a huge pain. But it was, you know, I mean, obviously it was very gratifying in the long run.
Right. What other writers in the TV, film, cartoon industry would you like to collaborate with that you haven't yet?
Okay. Collaborate with that I haven't. I've never worked with Len Wein and Marv Wolfman. I I assume you know who they are.
Yes.
And they are good friends of mine. I play poker with them every Friday night. For some reason over the years, we've sort of gotten close and then kind of missed each other on terms of working on shows. So it would be nice to work with those two guys.
Yeah. Recently, there was a new teenage...
I think I would really elevate the level of the quality of their writing. I think it would be very good for them.
Well,
it would be a good experience for them to work with me.
Right. Well, you know, Marv did bring back Optimus Prime, so...
Yes, he did. Well, yes, under orders. I mean, it wasn't like he ran...
Well, true, yeah.
And, oh, by the way, if I had written the Transformer movie, I never would have let them kill Optimus Prime. At the most, what I would have done... Well, never mind. I get to myself, but I would have told him... I loved Optimus Prime. He's a great, great character.
Yeah.
He is, as Jeff Scott, who is a very prolific animation writer who did some of the very early development on Transformers, said he's Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't kill off Lincoln unless you want to be John Wilkes Booth. Come on.
Very true.
You know, I knew that was going to be, you know, and they were basically about, well, this is next year's toy line, and we got to get the old toy line. We're not selling any more Optimus Prime. So.
Right. You know, it's funny now because that original toy, sometimes on eBay will go over $1,000. So, yeah.
Maybe I'll sell mine.
Recently, there was a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie called TMNT Forever on TV.
Did not see it.
Okay, you haven't seen it. Okay, my question was going to be, what did you think of it?
Well, I'm sure I could find some way to see it online if I were really determined. I think it's probably better for my blood pressure, as I said to them other guy. Actually, it was on that Moonbase interview that I first even heard about it, its existence. But
okay.
No, I haven't seen it. I'm very proprietary toward the Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it kind of bugged me. I saw on some fan site or somewhere somebody asking either Kevin or Peter, well, which of the four Turtles are you most like, you know, which one is really you?
Right.
And I see a question like that, and I go, well, none of them are you. They're me. I made them that way. They weren't like that way in your comic.
Exactly. You
know, so I get very proprietary toward the Turtles, and I don't really, there's very few people I trust with them. I worked with some of them on the original series, and there's people like Jack Mendelsohn and whatnot who, you know, did a very good job with them, but anyway, I haven't seen it. I'm sure I'll see it someday. I also have not seen any of the movies.
Oh, wow. Really?
Why should I?
Okay, no, that's more than fine. Okay. According to TLW2005.com, the new Transformers cartoon will be CGI like Beast Wars and Beast Machines was. What do you think of this, and would you want to write more Transformers stories?
Well, the truth is the Transformers is one of the few series that I actually wouldn't mind returning to. I mean, it's been, you know, 20 years or a little more. And I think there are still stories you can tell with that concept and with those characters. The CGI works really well for the robots. To me, it was, if you look at my shows,
mm-hmm.
very frequently it's the robot-human interaction that's at the core
mm-hmm.
of what I was writing. It's certainly at the core of the feature films that they're making now. And
right.
I did see the first Transformers film and liked it very much. Although I sort of felt like the only reason anybody's caring about any of these robots is because of the work we did in the cartoon.
True.
If you just wiped the cartoons from your memories and went in and saw that, you'd be going, okay, why does this guy like Optimus? You know, Bumblebee would be literally the only character who made sense. Picture. But at any rate, so CG is fine for the robots. It doesn't work so well for other things.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of like Beast Machines, the concept really had to be tailored. The series concept and what the stories were about had to somewhat be tailored for the fact that it was in CG.
Right.
So CG has come a long way since that series was done. So it would depend on the setup. But, you know, it was one of my greatest successes. It's one of the things I'm remembered for. You know, I would love to have some sort of involvement with it.
That kind of leads...
And actually, Turtles, too. You know, for some reason, they said you can go back and do the Turtles.
Right.
You know, and do it, you know, do it your way.
Right.
I would say sure. And my way, by the way, is not ha-ha, you know, cartoony all the time.
Mm-hmm.
My way is actually a combination of real action-adventure with, you know, that kind of off-the-wall, you know, comedy. You know, kind of... It's on my mind because I saw it last night. You know, it's kind of like Zombieland. I mean, without the gore, obviously, but Zombieland is, you know, you take away the jokes and it's basically a zombie movie.
True.
And that's what I always try to do with the Turtles. If you look at the bulk of my episodes, you can cut out all the jokes and you still have a basic action-adventure superhero show there.
Yeah, very true.
And, you know, really, for me, the darker the better. I always liked taking it, trying to make the threat as serious as possible, so that because the realer the threat is, the braver the turtles are for laughing in the face of it.
True.
So, and then you also have the situation, which we did a couple of times, which is when Raphael goes, okay, this is serious, you believe it.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Raphael thinks it's serious?
Yeah.
They're in some shit, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, next question.
Goes back to the new cartoon for Transformers. Have you been contacted about writing for Transformers Prime?
We held a seance, but no spirits contacted us from the beyond. I have not been contacted specifically about that.
Okay.
The end.
Okay, that's fine.
Now, kids, if you want me to be contacted about it, I wish I had an address for you to send your emails to.
Well, that kind of ties into the final question here. If people want to find out more about you on the internet, where could they go?
Well, there's always Google. No. There's an a lot. Friend me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
As David Wise. There's about a million David Wises, but. If you dig around, you'll find me. I also have a blog, which is not so much career news at this point as it is just things that are of interest to me. And that web address is, hold on just a second here, kids, boys and girls, the web address is princeospace.blogspot.com, or go to Blogger and search for Princeospace, one word.
Okay.
One of my favorite Japanese science fiction films, Princeospace.
Okay.
This is Princeospace, one word.
I'd like to thank David Wise for taking the time to talk with me, and we will catch you around the web.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Yeah.
Good talking to you. Bye-bye.
Hey, what happened to you guys in the past, anyway?
Not much. We learned a few things about Megatron. And about you, Optimus Prime. Or, should I say, Orion Pax?
You? So you five were the ones who saved me.
Would somebody tell me what in blazes this is all about?
Ask Optimus Prime. He knows.
All right. Spill it before I go crazy.
Well, it all began about 9 million years ago.
Oh, great. It's gonna be one of those long stories.